Well, I think this is a really important question, as we've got, you know, about 10,000 people every day turning age 65, all of them thinking about, geez, how do I make my money last a lifetime? I mean, what are the best methods out there, and some of the best thinking out there? And in reading the report highlights the use of immediate annuities and talks about some of the distribution scenarios and the income you can generate. But what struck me was that, in general, the guaranteed income you can get from an immediate annuity, quite honestly, is not that much higher than some of the historical distribution rates that, you know, would have supported people through retirement cycles, you know, going back prior to the 1930s. And so one of the issues with annuities is that in order to get a high payout rate, you essentially turn over ownership of your assets to the annuity company, the insurer. The insurer takes the money, they pay you out a fixed payment for life, and they take the risk that you'll live a long time, and you're hoping, of course, that you do, but they know on a big pool of people that some of them won't and some of them will. But giving up the principal, giving that money over to the insurance company, basically locks in your return for an entire 25 or 30-year retirement cycle. And if you look in more detail about how these things have worked in the past, generally people who start out at distribution rates that are comparable to what they can get from an annuity, often if they wait, you know, through their retirement, they experience periods of nice bull markets and have significant gains. And those gains are really, really important in keeping up with the cost of, you know, the rising cost of living and then the challenges of rising health care costs as well in retirement.
You mentioned the risk to the insurance company, and I want to touch on the insurance company idea in a minute, too. But you mentioned the risk to the insurance company is that you'll live a long time, and the potential benefit to them is that you won't, and they'll wind up with a profit that way. Is the risk and then the potential reward to the purchaser that I will live a long time, so I'll make my money back, I'll have a steady stream of income, and I won't have to worry about the bulls or bear markets affecting the distributions over the years.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically the exact trade-off. I mean, in a nutshell, the insurer is making a life expectancy bet. So, you know, if you went and bought an annuity today, they can't really tell how long you're going to live or how long you and your wife might live. But if they have 100,000 of you in a big pool, they can do a pretty good job of guessing, you know, when half the people will be gone and half will still be alive. And then, of course, your bet is everyone would like to live as long as possible, and the longer you live, the better the deal. So if you happen to live to 120, then they're, of course, stuck paying you for that period of time, but they know very few people will live that long. So that's the basic trade-off, and the knowledge and the security of the guaranteed income is very comforting. But people forget how much can change over a 25 or 30-year cycle in the financial markets. If you go back just 25 years, I mean, we're talking 1986 roughly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And think about how much has changed since 1986. The periods of massive bull markets that we had followed by massive bear markets. And the reality is, if you're looking out over 25 to 30 years, you're not just going to have either terrible markets or good markets. You're going to have a mixture of those. And being willing to accept some of that risk and manage it prudently, I think, leaves people with far more opportunities to deal with the challenges of retirement, one of which is inflation, and the second one, for a lot of people, is going to be the rising cost of health care and having access to your principal to be able to pay that for your spouse or for you should you need it. And those are really important concepts. And one of the things that the GAO report didn't talk about, and it was a good report, no question about it, good report, good analysis, people should read it. But one of the things they didn't get into is looking at the range of distributions, the ending account values for people 25 and 30 years down the road when we use these historical simulations. So let's say we went to 1950 and we wanted to see, you know, if you retired in 1950, how you would have done over the next 30 years, taking out 4% a year adjusted for inflation. And the way they gauge it is they say, well, there was either successful or not successful, meaning there was either a dollar left in the account, so you didn't run out of money, or there was more than a dollar and you did fine. But if you actually look at the ending account values and you use a 4% inflation-adjusted distribution, in more than half of the cycles, people had ended up with twice what they started with. So let's say you retired with $500,000. 30 years later, you had $1 million, plus you had taken out this 4% a year. many cycles. There was 3 times, 4 times, 5 times, even 6 times what people started with, because it's very dependent on what happens in the market. So thinking that you'll retire and only have one distribution rate out of your portfolio is somewhat naive. It's not really a very sophisticated way of looking at the markets. You'll have some years when you might take 4%, some 4.5%, some 5%, some 6%, then drop down to 4%. But being able to bear some of that risk gives you really some very good opportunities for upside in your retirement, which for the most part, I think a lot of people are going to need to make it work. And the concern with just a fixed income stream is that fixed income stream can be eroded. Now, the example they gave was inflation protection. And, of course, in retirement, you know, if you're tied to the CPI for your inflation-adjusted annuity, that doesn't necessarily reflect your cost of living, because so much of retiree expenses are associated with health care, which is rising, obviously, much faster than inflation. So while the income stream might be rising, it may not be rising as much as necessary to meet all your expenses.
One last real quick question, Charlie. The relationship here is one that maybe I think is a little bit different than people understand. You've used the term insurer. Should people be thinking about this as an insurance product, buying an annuity, rather than as a financial planning tool?
Well, it's both. I think it's fair to say it's both. It's a tool to use in retirement, but annuities are fundamentally issued by insurance companies because they're offering you an insured result, essentially saying we guarantee the following results for the next so many years. And then, of course, you have to be concerned about the stability of the insurance carrier and whether they're going to be there to stand behind all of these guarantees. But it is both. It's a financial planning tool. But the type of tool it is financially, it's basically an insurance-based approach.
I'm going to take a wild guess, and I'm going to guess that if you were going to refer people to a source to learn more about this stuff, you would refer them to the book, Your Money Ratios, 8 Simple Tools for Financial Security.
That's a very good guess, because I know the guy who wrote that. So.
And that's why I guessed it. We'll have some information about how to get that book at federalnewsradio.com along with your MarketWatch piece, and I appreciate you being on to talk about it this afternoon.
Okay, thanks a lot, Francis.